It's a Show Faith podcast. I'm Norman Reilly, half cut. Over joyous Norman Reilly, joined by John Sexton, who was at the match with us today. And to be honest with you, there might be a lot of slurring, there might be a lot of swearing, but you can't blame us for that, because Newcastle United have just produced a performance when a performance was needed. I mean, a game that you approach after the results we've had recently and you're shitting yourself, you're scared, stupid, you're thinking we just cannot lose today. And then before the kickoff, when you realise that Shelvey's out with a suspension, and then all of a sudden Hayden and Marino are injured, and you see a lineup that's got Saivier and Diarmi in midfield, and your initial thoughts are, how the fuck's this going to work? And then within the first few minutes, it didn't work, did it? Because the first goal happened. And John, just tell us what your fucking immediate thoughts were when that first goal went in.
The first goal was completely against the run of play, but just as a performance, absolutely unbelievable. I mean, the thing is, the team had started really well. It was a really good first few minutes. West Ham had one chance. The midfield, first time the central midfield had played together. Nobody really closed Anatovic down. He was pretty much anonymous apart from the goal. People were talking about Kieran Clarke being at fault. I don't think he was. But the response to the first goal was absolutely fantastic. And I think it was in keeping with the start of the game. The fans were up for it. West Ham never fancied it. Team didn't fancy it. The fans didn't really fancy it today, which is surprising considering the run that they've been on.
My opinion is that West Ham went in that game looking at more recent form, looking at the bounce of Adam Moyes, and I think there was like a kind of almost like an expectant fucking aspect to the home side performance. I think they went in that game thinking they were just going to win because we've been so bad lately. And obviously we can say the team performance was magnificent, but again, I'm gonna have to go into this because there are two players on the pitch today who have received a lot of criticism this season, Diarmi and Hosolu. And we'll start with Hosolu. Like, I think a few of us on the podcast, in the fucking echo chamber that the True Faith podcast lives in, we've been saying, like, you know what? Hosolu, he's not a goal scorer, he's not a centre forward, but he does bring something to you. And what did he bring today for you?
Hosolu is a target man, but not in the kind of conventional sense. So every single ball that was coming up to him, he was challenging for. Most of the time today, he won it because West Ham's defenders weren't really at the races, but he was winning it because he's a big guy. And even when he wasn't winning it, he was creating space. And in the first half, we're at the other end of the ground, but the first half, the challenges that he was going up for, whether he won it or not, Richie was getting a lot more space because of it, and he was creating problems. But to be fair, you said that the Huddersfield game, when it was his first game, wasn't it, when he came on?
That's right.
And every time I've seen him, he's not going to get 20 goals a season, but he creates problems. He creates problems, and what more can you ask from a centre forward than
a centre forward who isn't a fucking goal scorer?
He's doing exactly what he's being asked of him. He's doing exactly what's being asked of him, and actually more besides. And today he was exceptional. He was
even on defending corners, on when they're attacking, the ball's getting pumped in the box. He wins. He really loses a fucking header, so we can slag him off as much as he want. And don't get us wrong, I might be in the fucking the throes of happiness right now because the win that we've just had. But at the same time, I thought he was magnificent today. And him and Gale can work up front together.
Definitely.
And they're not you can't play him in a 4-4-2 because Hosolu isn't gonna score you enough goals to be a striker in a 4-4-2 formation. But what he did today was he played a number 10 role to a certain extent, just in front of their centre midfield, just behind Dwight Gale. But regardless of what the kind of Hosolu Gale relationship was, another player who gets a lot of grief from Newcastle fans, and to a certain extent there might be an element that's justifiable there, right? But Diarmi, he's a championship midfielder, I think we all know that. I think he probably does it himself. And every time he's played this season, he's been shoehorned at the side in centre midfield. He's been asked to do a job that he probably isn't familiar with. Last season, he was fantastic playing as a number 10 just behind Gale in the Championship. But today, did he put a foot wrong for you?
It's hard to criticise him. It really is. It's hard to criticise any of them. But particularly today, I mean, he was a physical presence. He put himself about. He's what's expected of him, you know. He's not Patrick Vieira. He's not going to go around and, like, he's not a box-to-box midfielder that is going to own a game. But he was absolutely superb today. He was absolutely superb. He did exactly what was asked of him. And he put himself about. And actually, for particularly second half, attacking-wise, he knows exactly what he needs to do. He's in the right places. He doesn't always make the right choice with his passes. He panics. You can see he panics. But you do wonder how much of that is down to the fact that he gets a lot of grief. And he's a bit twittery anyway, you know. He's going to be a bit anxious.
Of course, he's also going to twitch when he's fucking... When he, like, he's got, like, he's lacking self-belief. Mm. Right, I'll tell you what then. Diomi had a blinding game as far as I'm concerned. Hosslow had a blinding game as far as I'm concerned. And... Fuck it, we'll see what we like about them. They might be championship players, but today they were absolute kings today as far as I'm concerned. Now, let's get in the fullbacks. Yedlin and Manquillo today.
Yeah, I laugh because Yedlin, I've always said, is a right winger playing right back. And fantastic going forward, and he just worries me. But he tackled everything today. He threw himself into stuff, and he looks like a different player. I mean, you were saying he was excellent at Arsenal last week. He could definitely put a tackle in when he wants to.
Well, this is the thing.
And he was exceptional going back. But it's the space that he was stopping as well. And that was the thing. He put so much graft in stopping balls coming into the box in the first half. And one ball into the box, which Antonio probably should have scored from. But apart from that, I can't remember West Ham getting too many crosses into the box. And that's testament to both the fullbacks, but particularly Yedlin, the way that he plays, the fact that he spends most of his time bombing forward with no interest in what's supposed to be going on behind him.
Well, I think you mentioned Antonio there briefly, and we were seeing before the match, like, when the side was announced, and we shit ourselves a little bit because you've got, like, a centre midfield of Diomi and Saivier. Saivier is another man I can go on to because he was fucking brilliant today. But you look at the side and you think, oh, we're going to get humped. But then all of a sudden you see the West Ham lineup with Antonio up front, and you're thinking, hold on a second. Antonio is good in the air, but he's not going to cause Lascelles and Clark that much bother in the air. And that was the case, really.
Yeah. No, it absolutely was. I'd say, even the way there, he's like a rugby league player playing centre forward for West Ham. You can understand why they're kind of doing it. And he did make, in the first 15, 20 minutes, he probably made a bit more space for Arnautovic. But did he really give the centre half?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, the game was close. We won 3-2. To a certain extent, you could see we were hanging on at the end. I mean, I didn't think we were hanging on. I think we were hanging on to the extent that we were shitting ourselves because we were a goal up. There was a lot on. But in terms of clear-cut chances, it weren't that much.
No.
Now, there was nought in that West Ham side today that made me think we're going to lose. Like, you know, if you're playing Antonio up front and you're missing Lanzini, there's kind of a party that's a little bit optimistic. Now, again, your optimism might be, like, shafted out the window when you see him at the centre midfield of, like, Saivier and Diomi. But, to be fair, Saivier, for a kid who hasn't played for, like, barely 2.5 years since he's been at Newcastle, how good was he today?
Oh, just unbelievably good he was.
Pound Chop Patrick Vieira?
Pound Chop content.
Pound Chop content,
Pound Chop content, you said on the way in.
But he was more of, like, he wasn't a Pound Chop content, you know what? He was to
Pound Chop content that could take free kicks.
No, he was to Vieira what Super Juggers the boots. You know what I mean? He's like, he's got the same gifts. They're all there. I mean, you know what I mean? They're a little bit more haphazard in how they're presented, but at the same time, they still do the same job.
He did, no. He absolutely worked his bollocks off. I mean, they all worked their bollocks off, but considering the midfield that he got put in the middle of as well, and it wasn't like a five-man midfield as well. That was quite clearly a two-person midfield. You know, that was Diame and him. Diame had a really good game, but he's not really a central midfielder. And Savvy, the amount of ground he covered...
It was ridiculous. He basically fucking covered... He did the... like we've compared him to Conte. And it's easy to compare to Kanté just because he's a short, stocky French midfielder. But what Kanté does is he screens the back four and he kind of breaks up the play and he also pushes on the fucking play. And that's exactly what Savio did. Yeah. He was like a screen. Nothing, almost nothing got past him. And as much as West Ham, like as much as we were bricking ourselves because, you know, West Ham are the home team, they get a penalty when we're 2-1 up, they miss the penalty, we go 3-1 up, they pull a goal back within minutes, they bring Carroll on, you're shitting yourself. At the same time, in terms of clear-cut chances, there wasn't that much going on.
And actually what Savio did as well was he was very calm in possession. I mean, apart from the fact he grafted his bollocks off and put a tackle in, he was very calm in possession. He's very calm. Again, it's hard to see when you've just come straight away from the game, but I bet he didn't give the ball away very often. He won the ball a hell of a lot, and I don't remember giving it away.
I thought he was absolutely fucking brilliant today. Like, I mean, I think he's one of those players, though, you think, like, you know, he's a Senegalese international. He's played for years in League One in France. He's obviously got ability.
Yeah.
And he was signed under McLaren, but one of those players that McLaren clearly wouldn't have had a fucking clue about. It was when, like, you know, when Newcastle, like the Newcastle board, by board, I mean like the three people who run the club, you just go out and sign random players from League One. And Rafa's had to hide him in today. And he's hired him in. And he's like staked the claim.
Definitely.
You couldn't, on that performance, you couldn't drop Saibi after that, could you?
When you think about the fixture list over the next few weeks, and it is very intense, like, irrespective of the teams that you're playing, there's a lot of games to play in a short amount of time. And he's absolutely stepped up.
Put it this way, it's like, you know what it is, like Colback was slightly ostracised this pre-season for whatever reasons he may be, and I thought Colback did alright last season, but at the same time I don't think Colback would have been capable of producing the performance that Savio put out there today.
I mean, you wonder as well, so much of it is that is a side that Benitez trusts, and it's the players that he has trust in. So again, it comes back to the Hosselu thing, isn't it? He's telling them what to do, and if they do what he tells them to do, he'll have absolute faith.
Well, that ties in perfectly the next question I've got in terms of Rafa telling people what to do. Let's move on to Perez. Now, Perez came on for Gale, and obviously Gale had worked his arse off the whole match. He chased every fucking ball, doing everything. Yeah. And Perez came on, and there were people like around us going, "Chase it, dude, get your foot in." But you turned around to me and you said, no, Rafa's told him, this is what you do. And he's sticking to fucking exactly what he's been told to do.
It was almost like he was playing against himself, wasn't it? Because there was times where the ball would go back to the keeper, or the ball would like kind of go into the corner flank and the fullback's got it, and you think, and people are shouting at him to go, and he'd go, and then he'd stop himself. He'd physically stop himself. But he's doing exactly what he's been told to do, and that's why
Rafa fucking rates him.
That's why Perez is always going to get a game when Benitez is there, because he does exactly what he's told him. Do you know what? He does a really good job of it as well. He does a really good job. The reason West Ham didn't really make any chances in the last 10 minutes was because everybody was doing exactly what they were supposed to be doing. Everyone was doing it as a unit.
That's exactly it. I mean, West Ham had loads of the ball, they put a load of pressure on, but there weren't any real clear-cut chances. And that's the thing, it's like, how are Newcastle? Break, how are Newcastle? Close them doing. How are man? How are Perez do this? But at the same time, it's like, no, hold on. What did West Ham really fucking create in the last sort of 10, 15 minutes?
Don't leave him any space. That's the thing. Don't leave him any space. Stay rigid, stay disciplined. Don't leave him any space to get in. And they were absolutely brilliant for that.
Well, again, if we're talking about tactics here, like, we can get on, like, a kind of decision that's been made by Rafa and his team when Carroll came on. And obviously the moment that like a 6'5" built like a fucking tank Benjamin centre forward comes on against you, and Carroll can play. You know, he's not just a fucking bloke who can win headers, he's a good footballer. Now he came on and we were like, right, this is gonna be tough. And he won every header, but there's a reason he won every header, isn't there?
No, nobody challenged him unless it was in the 6-yard box, and with good reason, because as soon as you challenge Carroll for a header, you're almost certainly going to lose and you're out of the game. And they've definitely been disciplined and been told, don't go in for 50-50s with him. Just let him win the ball. Let him win the ball. And because he's, I think he's great. He wanders wherever the ball is. He gets drawn to the ball, and he is a great.
You can't mark him. He's a kind of player you can't
he's
fucking
a really
mark him.
Good footballer with the ball at his feet. Like, there's a couple of crossfield passes he played in the last 20 minutes. You're like, he can fucking play a bit. I mean, he's a big lad, and it's dead easy to like ping balls into the box and aim for him. But he's much better than someone like Peter Crouch. He's a good footballer.
He's a brilliant footballer. He's a brilliant footballer.
But let him have the ball. Let him have the ball first off. So long as he's not actually going to win a header and direct it at goal, let him have the ball.
Exactly that. And exactly what happened. So rather than fucking, like, let's say, oh, like, let's get on Carroll. Let's mark Carroll. Let's make sure he does as many headers. It was almost like, no, right. If you put, like, the Sells and Clark on Carroll, the reality is he's going to win every single fucking header. He's going to win them all. So why not just let him win the headers? And then cope with the knockdowns from the headers instead. Unless it's in the 6-yard box and he wins a header. If it's in the 6-yard box, get up and get a challenge in. But if it's like in the 18-yard box, if it's 25 yards, let him win it because you're not going to beat him. So what's the point in committing Lascelles and Clark to marking Carroll when you know for a fact Carroll's going to win anyways? No. And I think Benitez played it perfectly when Carroll came on.
Definitely. And one of the other things as well was how good, talked about it earlier, but Yedlin, Mankilo were...
Mankilo was excellent, I thought, today.
The first half, you've got Antonio playing up front, so, yeah, all right, like, Clark and Lascelles are going to be able to deal with him. As soon as Carroll went on, right, the emphasis completely changed. It was, right, stop getting balls into the box. And actually, how many balls actually came in, like, 12 yards from goal that actually Carroll could properly attack? None. There was almost none. There was a couple of free kicks, but there was nothing that he could really, really go after. And that's testament to the fullbacks changing the way they were thinking and saying, right, we've got to stop the crosses now.
Aye.
And that was different to the first half. Well, West Ham did get a few crosses in, but they didn't really do anything with it.
What did you think of Richie's performance today? Because I thought his graft was fucking exceptional.
I mean, I like Richie anyway. I think he always grafts hard. What I quite liked first half and probably first 15-20 minutes of the second half, it was that out ball, the long ball out to Gosselu, who was challenging for everything and was giving Richie a huge amount of space. Again, we need to watch it back, but it looked like it would work twice in the first half, and both of those was coming down the right flank and it was all coming from Richie. And all of that was because of the space that Osley was creating for him. But he was just he was clever enough to graft his nuts off when he needed to and drop into midfield, but make that run round the back of Osley when the ball was coming over.
It's funny, feeding off
the scraps almost.
Well, it's funny you say that because I think Richie had a really brilliant game today, and I think like the thing is, like, with one of the criticisms of Osley was that he didn't score enough goals, etc. Right? But today, I actually thought at one point, Hosolu is a really intelligent footballer because he's winning loads of battles in the air and other players aren't actually reading what the fuck he's doing. He's winning the ball, he's laying it off, and the other players, it's almost like they're not... Like, kind of Atto and Richie weren't expecting what he was doing with it. But... I'm not gonna start waxing lyrical about Hosolu. I mean, I am, because, you know what? He's had so much criticism and it's about time he got some credit. And he didn't score today, but he was fucking brilliant. And I think that Atsu, I tell you, that was another good thing to see. There was Atsu back from injury and back on fire. I thought Atsu was bloody brilliant today. Like,
how good was it? Was it the second goal?
The second goal, the third goal,
the third goal.
The
Yami,
wasn't it?
Zabaleta to the clean.
Oh, no, I think Alex, who obviously normally presents his podcast because he's a lot more rounded, well-spoken human being than I am.
Drinks less.
Drinks less and he's younger and he's just more tech-savvy than I am. But Alex, like, sent us a message and said, like, basically, Atto's ended Zabaleta's career there. I mean, not only he megged him, but also he just fucking rinsed him.
He rinsed him, didn't he?
And I like Zabaleta as a human being. But today, I mean, Atsu just shite on him, didn't he? Shite on him, like.
Yeah. But as well, Atsu, and again, it comes back to Richie, it was both of the wingers, you want to call them wingers, whatever they are these days, but like actually genuinely helping out the fullbacks that were behind them. And Atsu grafted his bollocks off as well. Everyone tracked back as they should do. And
Well, here's a question for you, Reed. Is as fucking amazing as it was that Newcastle won 3-2 today, as amazing as that Robbie Elliott saved a fucking penalty. And I tell you what, Elliott today, for every criticism I've fucking given of Robbie Elliott, today he came off his line, he claimed balls, he made saves. He might have been at fault slightly for the first goal, but I tell you what, the reality is, he had a centre midfield pairing, as we've already mentioned, that had never played together, and they had no idea what they were doing, and they got it together very quickly, right? So bollocks of that. Elliott today, the penalty save, he came off his line, he claimed crosses, his distribution wasn't too bad, he did really, really well. Now, the question is, as good as Newcastle were today, was there anyone in that West Ham lineup that actually made you think, you know what, these lot are a better side than Newcastle?
No, it's funny, isn't it? You go into the game and you're looking at someone like Arnautovic, and he seems to be on form. Looked like he played really, really well against Stoke last week. And obviously scored a goal in the first, 6 minutes, 7 minutes, whatever it was. But apart from that, was absolutely fucking anonymous. He did absolutely nothing. And I wouldn't touch him with a barge pole and out of it. He does nothing for me.
Well, apart from the fact that he's got a fucking squirrel for a haircut. But
I'm not a massive fan of his haircut. Nor am I a massive fan of the way he plays.
Put it this way, and like, you know what? I make a grief for this, and I'm saying it. I'm putting it out there to our 2,500 echo chamber listeners, right? Arnautovic City, I wouldn't have swapped him for Håkon Hosseló, because Arnautovic did not win a single fucking header.
Every single day of the week.
And he cost 25 million.
Every day of the week.
Hosseló was a Stoke City reserve. Arnautovic was like a Stoke City fucking first team, like, yep, in our first team selection. And I think Hosseló had a better game than him. So, you know what? Hosseló might have an absolute stinker against Man City. But the reality is, most of them are, because Man City are an anomaly. The game we've got to focus on is Brighton. New, with how we committed today, how we grafted today, surely we can beat Brighton.
You think so? I mean, the big thing for me, and what struck me all the way through the game, was Lascelles, which you've been saying. For,
oh, like, Lascelles!
Like, but it's not
so important.
It's not just the way that he plays. It's the way that he organises everybody else, and it's the way that he.
It's the vocality, isn't it?
So a corner comes in, and he'll win it, or someone else will win it. And he squeezes everybody out straight away. And he is. You can see why Benitez made him captain at the age that he did. Because he has got that. He's got that ability to be able to tell people, come on, now we're out. And he absolutely... He's telling people where to go. I mean, physically,
he's the only player we've got who looks like a player who is, like, basically spent all their life in the Premier League. Like, he's a physical specimen. In every game I've seen this season, against West Brom, I saw it against Man U away, their players are bigger than us, whereas Lascelles, he's got that Premier League physique on him, hasn't he?
Absolutely. And he's got the mentality on him as well.
He's
a leader. He's clearly a leader. And he was the one that was organising everybody. That's Kieran Clark's older than him.
Well,
and
interesting enough,
in theory, but he was ordering people around. It must make a massive difference having somebody like that. To your keeper as well. That's the thing. If the goalkeeper's for crosses and they're not too short, and if you've got somebody like Lascelles there shouting all the time, telling people when to come, when not to come, what to go for, what not to go for, when to squeeze out, it makes a massive difference. It must do.
We've been saying this all season. I mean, the thing is with Lascelles, I mean, what is he, 23, 24? Kieran Clark, I really love Kieran Clark. I think he's a really good player. He's obviously susceptible to making a mistake now and again. And he was slated when we signed him by Villa fans and all that. And he's captain for Ireland and everything. But as good as Kieran Clark might be, I don't think he's like a kind of natural leader, whereas I think Lascelles is. He's like a natural vocal presence. And this is the first time under Lascelles this season we've conceded more than one goal. But we still fucking won. And every time the ball went up towards our defence, Lascelles was screaming. I mean, I'm talking like pumped up, screaming, putting people in position. And he's a big player for us, and he's really important.
He's a leader. Absolute leader.
And to be honest with you, mate, there's not really much more to say, is there? Other than it was a fucking brilliant day.
I've done as much as I can.
We've done as much as we can. We're going to see it now. We're going to get steaming drunk. There might be a second podcast, a more reflective let's discuss tactics and everything else. But right now, me and John are saying not because we've had a brilliant day and the day hasn't ended yet. So we'll either be back with you before Man City or after Man City. However it goes, today was a good day to be a Newcastle fan. Enjoy it, and we'll talk to you later. And I'll put one more plug out. The Trophy Earth fanzine, download it. Don't even download it, just look at it, PDF it, whatever you want to do with it. It's fucking brilliant. And we'll catch you later.